In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. Welcome back to another week in the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM, the Voice of Charity Radio Network, as we equip you with the practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today. Happy New Year's, Robert Martin.
Happy New Year's, George Manassa. How are you? And did you make it through with the resolutions?
I think I've sort of pushed myself to the limits, you know, with all the resolutions and getting things done over the Christmas break, and yes. It really has been. I've been working through and taking a bit of a break here and there, but still working through planning the Catholic Toolbox and everything we want to do for this year. It's just been an absolute blessing.
Yes, yeah. It is, and it's a
how was your break?
Very, very good. Well. Time to recharge and spend some time with our Lord, and planning for the year ahead, life's goals. Plan of life, and here we are at the beginning of 2020, January, so it's good to be back.
Did you join a gym?
No, but I did a bit of physical work, definitely, definitely.
Well, we're in the third week of January, so yeah, the motivation hype keeps going, still kicking in, but you know.
It's interesting, George, you mentioned motivation, which is something that we probably will touch upon again tonight in the talk here in the podcast.
You mentioned something about a podcast.
So
that's proud, right, to announce that the Catholic Toolbox is now also not just a radio show here on Tuesday nights. It is also a podcast that will be released in 3 weeks time on the 11th. So we're working 3 weeks pretty much ahead of time, and in 3 weeks' time, we'll release our first one, and everyone can re-access them, so you can listen to it in the car. It will be so handy for everyone driving. You know, I love listening to podcasts while I'm driving, and we'll also be on YouTube as well for those who want to watch. Sit back and instead of Netflix, put the Catholic Toolbox on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Learn a few things about your faith.
Definitely, it's better than getting caught up in the traffic and cursing everybody there. So we bless them anyway, but even the other blessing is to listen to something that is important and necessary, especially in these days of our lives as such.
Of our lives, definitely. And look, there's no greater way, I think, to start 2020, the Catholic Toolbox Talks, than to talk about a very serious topic, and you're the man for the job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, psychologist, and you're out with different people. You've done work all over Sydney, in and out of Sydney, and there's no man to consult for tonight's agenda, which is Catholic psychology. Now, those two words are very seriously linked, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Definitely Catholic, meaning universal, and psychology, the psyche, the soul, which are every person born receives at birth as a gift.
Isn't psychology the study of the soul? We don't really hear that, you know, in the modern secular.
No, we don't. It is, yeah. So you're like a doctor of the soul. You study it. And so if the soul is diseased, there is some sort of imperfection in it, we help patients, clients treat. We treat that malady just like a GP would treat, a suspicious-looking mole on the skin.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. So you look at but essentially psychology, the psych comes from the Greek term psyche.
Yes.
Which, what does it exactly
mean? It means soul.
It means soul. It means soul. So it translates to soul. So Catholicism, yes. seeking the salvation is the ultimate goal, to seek the salvation of your soul, and psychology is the study of your soul. So there's a serious connection there. And look, this is probably one of the most under-talked about things, probably if ever, not really well spoken about things in the Catholic world today. And that's why we're going to hit the
nail
on the head. There you go. Let's do it. But before we continue, let's just go to our little big D disclaimer.
Okay.
And that is for those, we're going to be talking about psychology tonight. So obviously Robert is a registered psychologist, and obviously this does still does not constitute as any kind of psychological or professional advice. Anyone who is in danger or feeling any sort of changes,
troubled or getting a sort of a different, unusual reaction.
Exactly.
And they are asked to call, and you've got the magic number.
The number is 13 11 14. That is Lifeline on 13 11 14. So, and what we discuss tonight is obviously not professional advice, but obviously general seeking, and we recommend that you seek the relevant professional advice. And this can possibly be a, we can plant the seed for somebody to go get some help, look at something, because look, there's a lot of shame around psychology. Nobody wants to talk about mental health these days. You know, people talk about all kinds of health, their physical health. Oh, my, I have a lung infection, this infection, but nobody wants to talk about mental health. Why do you think there's so much shame around mental health?
I think it's because, well, you know, in schools and teaching and that, most year eight, year nine boys or girls hear about a chap called Sigmund Freud, who was a psychoanalyst, a psychiatrist that practiced in Vienna.
Ah, okay.
And but he practiced in a very minute way. The village wasn't that big, and so he might have had about 7 to 8 people that he saw for most of his life. And and so Freud, his theory is correct, but he's only one third of the man, one third of the woman. And then some people have experienced a guy called Carl Jung, who's also a psychologist, psychoanalyst. He appears in teachers' colleges, universities, what have you. But he's only one third true, because he talks about archetypes and dreams and shadows. And to finish it off is a chap called Adler, who was more like a family personality sort of type of psychologist, where he was the one that said, well, if you've got three kids, number two is the one that you need to look after, because they're neither the oldest nor the youngest. Now these three people have given us a third of man, and each of them are correct, but in totality they're not enough. They're not enough.
That's amazing. So look, there, I think there's a sense that people think that there must be something wrong with me, or I'm less than somebody else. That's why there's a lot of shame. And I think that's why we need to talk about it a bit more. I mean, because there isn't really shame. There's always a path to recovery for any kind of situation that anyone's going through. So,
If we look at what we've seen on the news in Australia, most of the psychology we get from North America. And so before, people used to be in what they used to call mental asylums. And for some, this was a horrific experience. If you look at the movie A Beautiful Mind, where Russell Crowe plays Professor John Nash. Now, John Nash came up with his own theory called choice theory, but he also had schizophrenia. So he was having a bout of schizophrenic delusions, hallucinations, they tied him down to a bed and injected him with insulin, like for diabetes, because back in the 40s, 50s there, they didn't know what we know today. So medicine has come really fast and thick and quick, but the theory, the shame and the stigma is there.
Yeah, in a sense, there's no more. It's become very, it's fallen in what you call scientism, where it's all about medication and just medicating somebody, quick fixes, you know, all the time. You know, it's not about treating again. This is where Catholicism goes back to the root of what psychology actually is, which is the study of the soul, looking into somebody's soul. Sure, sometimes things need to be medicated to assist with symptoms, but then you have to look at somebody on a personal level and see what they're thinking and talk to them. And naturally, help them with their soul, because obviously their soul is bound to the physical body. It can only function according to the physical capabilities by which it's actually bound.
That's right. Yeah. So we've got this thing called body, mind, and spirit. So
yeah.
Not a hippie, new age kind of
mind, body.
Not at all.
With those crystals, you know, yeah. those shops, you know.
Yeah. No, this is whereby the mind, the intellectual part of man, of people are the free will. And this is the mind that can be elevated and transcend up towards God.
Mm.
So you've got the soul and you've got the body being the materialistic, and that needs looking after too. And then you've got the soul, but the mind that's able to ask questions, probe deeper. This is, again, an entity that is above the soul.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow. Mm.
Definitely.
So... if I'm understanding you correct, we could say as the church teaches that the soul, the two faculties of the soul, as the church teaches, are the intellect and the will.
That's right.
So obviously the intellect, which draws knowledge.
Yes.
And the will obviously is to what extent.
Yes.
The body would then be subject to the knowledge in the mind.
Correct.
Which is where holiness comes in.
Correct.
Because if we can live, Jesus, obviously God gave us law on Mount Sinai. He gave us truth. He gave us written theoretical law.
Mm.
But God is very practical. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's very good that we have the practical tools here on the toolbox. So God then proceeds to become human in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that humanity in Jesus Christ is what makes our Lord... the true embodiment of that theory on Mount Sinai, truth. So obviously our soul, we have a truth to live by, which is the teaching of the church, the Catholic faith, and the natural law.
Yes.
And obviously the soul and your will subjecting to that is obviously you living in good spiritual health. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And not just for us Catholics, Buddhists... Muslims.
You've done a lot of work with different religions different as well. Religions, so I mean, you're not just with the Catholic.
No,
and that's what we love on the Catholic Toolbox. We don't like to just keep things within the church. We use the church's teaching, which is the only way to salvation. But we dissect it. We turn it into practical ways that can be applicable to the real world, which is what our Lord came to actually do—to go and deliver results, real world results.
You see,
and so you work with
different denominations, different faiths, and. Basically, the questions are all the same.
Yeah.
You know, like why am I depressed, or why am I hurting, or why did this happen to me? And once again, these questions are very, very good questions that allow people time to reflect and go, yeah, there is something greater here. And the beautiful thing about psychology is the soul, that each soul in the world, from Adam to the present, to the last person to be born, is a child of God.
Exactly.
So that soul is unique. And this is why we respond to things and phenomena differently. This is what makes us unique.
That's what makes us unique. You
know, we'll look at a rainbow.
Mm.
We'll both see a rainbow. Yeah, correct. But I'll be looking at one particular color and you'll be looking at a different one.
Exactly. You know what's interesting? So we got to make this distinction as well. So obviously... by you just praying, growing spiritually, you could still have a psychological disorder.
Definitely. Or
a
disease.
Yeah. So that's why we've got a distinct, where the dark, what's the dark night of the soul, like St. Teresa of Avila and those saints who experienced, or what is actual depression?
Yeah, we can deal with the difference between dark night and depression down the track.
Down the track. I think there'll be another series. Yeah,
that sounds excellent. Yeah. I look forward to it.
Beautiful. And now we'll take our break before we reveal this week's three practical tools to take action. We'll be back. Stay tuned here on 1701 AM. Back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM. We're joined by Robert Martek discussing Catholic psychology. Now it's time to take the three tools out from the toolbox for the week. Imaginary drum roll.
Yeah. Okay.
Practical tool number one.
Number one, if you read St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34, and how our blessed master said, we cannot serve God and mammon. We'll either hate the first, love the other, or exactly. love the first, hate the other.
Yeah, correct.
And then the discourse of our Blessed Master, where it says, do not worry about tomorrow, do not be anxious. And so a lot of people today are very, very anxious. They're anxious for their work. They're anxious for their family. Is my family being fed properly? How are my kids' marks at school? Is my job, am I going to be retrenched? So all this anxiety, our Lord knew. He knew. It's there. It's fresh. It's new. And it's God talking to his children, St. Matthew chapter 6.
Wow. That's powerful. I mean, because look, there's a lot of worldly, so obviously reflecting on Matthew chapter 6 and seeing that the things of the world, so spending time in reflection, I think, is very important to understand that everything around us, your job, as important as you think you are, you know, and that includes myself, you know, we're all, nothing surpasses the spiritual. The salvation of our souls is number one priority. So that's the first thing we have to understand is probably spending maybe 15 minutes a day understanding that, probably in the morning, because everyone wakes up to go to work or to go to their professional occupation, to understand whatever you do on a secular note, if you do not say, if it's not done for the glory of God, or if it's an end in itself, then it's dead work. You know,
that's right.
That's very important. And that helps the psychology. Why?
Yeah.
What do you think it helps the psychology of somebody?
Well, our Lord's word is it cuts direct, straight to the heart. And so if God who made us is talking to me there, then I need to listen. I need to open my heart and accept these words. I can't be concrete or wooden. You know, I have to be I have to be humble. I'm made out of flesh, but I have a spirit. Mind, soul, and God wants me to do something with it.
Correct, yeah. Now let's move on to the second drum roll.
Okay, the second drum roll is...
For the second practical tool.
The second practical tool is meditate on the fact that you're a child of God. Now, it's one thing to say child of God, but everyone is a child of God. And we have to... spend time with our Father. This is divine filiation.
Correct.
This is a friendship, a love between father and son, father and daughter, you know, the children. We're all children of God, and we have to be that. And when we are genuinely trying to be a child of God, we won't so easily make excuses because we'll know our right. This is our right. So there's a lot of news on at the moment about Prince Harry and, you know, being away from the royal families. He's splitting up away and this and that. But this is the royalty, the ultimate royalty, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of, in the materialistic and secular world, I think that's where there are a lot of self-esteem issues. I think it's more prominent these days because of social media and the fact that everybody can compare against everybody else, you know. Oh, I'll just scroll through somebody's Instagram. They're doing better than me. Oh, they bought this new car. They've done this. You know, they've achieved this. Am I up to that standard? And we start comparing ourselves.
Well,
that's what a lot of young people, especially in my social, and I've experienced that myself personally. I mean, when you look, you want to be like everybody else, and it kills people on the inside. I think that's where a lot of self-esteem issues come in.
They do, and people do unfortunately take their lives because it's the old, what we say in psychology, it's the compare and despair. We can't be someone else because that job's already taken. Sure, we have good role models. We can copy. We can have a holy envy.
Exactly. You know,
that's definitely right. But it's a dead end. It's a track, a road to disaster when we compare.
So it's very
ourselves.
Serious that you say spend, 15 minutes a day as well?
Yeah.
Reflecting on the fact that you're a child of God.
Yes.
Despite, and maybe what I do is just sit somewhere where there's a lot of people passing by and think every single person, this is how I see it, the fact that God loves every single person here. There's so many people. You know, sure, we don't care about all the people personally, but God does. It just shows you how infinite God's mercy is. And spending 15 minutes is powerful in thinking and understand that you are unique. There'll be nobody like you. There has been nobody like you in the past, and there is nobody like you now, and there will be nobody in the future and history of mankind to come, like you.
Definitely.
And for those who are struggling with any kind of psychological or social situations, obviously we put the disclaimer, this is not any psychological advice, it does not count as any professional, seek the associate professional advice. And the number to call on Lifeline if you are going through anything is 13 11 14. That is 13 11 14. Now let's hit the third drum roll.
The third
practical tool.
The practical tool is, I would say, our guardian angels. Because,
powerful, yeah?
Yeah, very powerful.
Yeah.
Our guardian angels are given to us at by our birthright in baptism.
Yeah.
And they follow us everywhere, and especially when we've got
they follow us everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, they go with us.
Yeah.
They're with us. So even if you are...
This is something that people just do not understand. Mm-hmm. And this is so radical. When I found this out, I was bewildered.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, let's say when you're at Mass,
mm-hmm.
the priest is saying Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Lawrence, Chrysostom, John, Paul, Cosmas, and Damian, all the saints.
Yeah, Felicity, why is he saying, Perpetua.
There you go. Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, and all your saints. Why is the priest speaking? Because they're literally in front of him, and he's speaking to God in the presence of the saints, not in the way that we're speaking,
no.
but literally, spiritually. If we had a third spiritual dimension with our vision, we could see them in front of us.
Oh, look.
And likewise, the guardian angels follow us all the time. They're with us, to the left, to the right. Yes. Always be conscious of that.
Yes. Yeah. And they're very good allies. So if we've got something difficult that we're going through and we need... and it really depends on other people, it's good to pray to their guardian angel to prepare them to be bright and cheerful and happy.
They're our spiritual PAs, in a sense, because they're there to aid us spiritually.
Yeah.
And God's assigned them a job for every single human being alive. That's pretty hectic. There's got to be a lot per person.
It definitely, you think about it.
A job that doesn't run out.
Yes, that's right. It keeps giving. So you've got, do not be anxious. Then you've got, you're a child of God. And yes, you have an angel, and then use your guardian angel to help assist, pray, to bring the right people in your life.
You know what's powerful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Jose Maria Escrivá. Mm-hmm. This is what I was told by one of our other regulars, John Larkin, who's probably, he's up in Brisbane now, and he'll be tuning in with us on the second week live on air.
Oh, good.
But said this, that St. Jose Maria, before he used to walk inside a room, used to open the door, used to pause for a second. Mm-hmm. Can you guess why?
No, tell me.
Why would he pause? Why do you pause a second?
To let somebody because through? Somebody else greater is leading the way.
So he used to pause for a second when he opened the door to let his guardian angel through.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
That's powerful stuff.
That's right.
And he used to always greet, before he used to greet somebody else, he used to always greet the guardian angel of that person before you greeted the person.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and there's our city. There's our heavenly city.
Talk about living in the presence of God and being present of the supernatural dimension of you just going to work, you doing an assignment, you doing going for a coffee with a friend. Mm-hmm. There's a supernatural element to the ordinary circumstances of daily life. Mm-hmm. And the problem is the homilies, the talks, nobody's getting at that enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to reiterate that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really important that we're authentic, we're genuine, and that we know our limitations.
Definitely.
And this is where the guardian angels really can help.
Excellent. So conscious of our guardian angels. Now we'll take our break before we open the line for questions. For those who would like to call in here with your questions or comments, the number is 96256111. That is 96256111. So another week on the Catholic Toolbox. I'm your host and founder, George Manasseh, here on 1701 AM. You can download the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes on Apple iTunes or watch the video footage of the Catholic Toolbox radio show on YouTube, which will be uploaded in 3 weeks' time on the 11th, concurrently with the podcast. For those men who want to live their calling, check out my Rite of Manhood podcast on iTunes as well, and I'll walk you through each week to create your rite of passage into manhood on the Rite of Manhood. Check out our website on www.therightofmanhood.com for more information. And now we have an open line, so if you would like to call in with your questions or comments, the number to dial is 96256111. That is 96256111. And we are looking forward to hearing from you, our listeners. I have a lot of questions. We have myself, but let's start off with a question from Jack from Tasmania. So during confession, obviously the priest obviously has, obviously through his discretion, obviously makes a decision whether or not somebody commit a sin or is obviously suffering something of a psychological nature. Obviously, if a priest does detect that, should he, in his own moral, and obviously he should have an obligation, he does have the obligation to let that person, refer that person to further help. Obviously.
Yes, definitely. Psychologists, psychiatrists aren't priests, and priests aren't psychologists or psychiatrists.
It could be both, which, but...
Yeah. The thing is, the problem is then you go back to the actual priest. How much do they know about psychology and psychiatry, and how much maybe of a personal bias they might have? But having said that, the solitary role of the priest is for the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah,
which the priest as the mediator acts as a mediator between the penitent
and God.
And sometimes, priests might see somebody coming to confession, which is fantastic, and their sins are forgiving, but they have this other malady. You know, they might notice they have a compulsion or they're saying something very strange, and that a good priest would refer to, you know,
exactly,
for psychological help.
Yeah, I've had friends, I mean, they've gone to confession with very holy priests. I mean, they're at such a high, I mean, there are some priests, very holy priests, but there are really holy priests that are on the verge of becoming mystics.
Yeah, right.
And a friend of mine went in, he said, said his sins, came back and said, oh, well, he referred me to a psychologist. I'm like, I spoke to other people, the same priest, they said, he referred me to a psychologist. There's some priests that like to cover their backs as well and just say, see someone, which is good always. I mean, I think it's better to, as we in Australia say, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yes.
And it's better for a priest if he sees something, obviously, do his part, play his part. Obviously, the psyche is the soul.
Yeah.
So obviously, the sin needs to be remitted by the priest.
That's right.
Through the sacrifice of Christ, he mediates.
Yeah.
And then should refer them to treat any psychology as part of their anatomy.
Yeah.
Not as part of the soul aspect, the actual... Well, psychology is the soul, but not part of the spiritual aspect of the psyche.
Yeah, because you can go into confession. Let's say you have a broken arm and you haven't got it in a sling, but you know it's broken, and you can go there and, you know, say you just played a football game.
Sorry, I broke my arm and I was clumsy.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. Yeah. But
the thing is, if you say your sins to the priest, then the priest might say, oh, don't you think you better have a look at that arm? It looks broken. Why?
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be put in a sling. So it's the same with psychology and mental health. As we have such a tremendous pressure to look good and be physically, you know, like Hercules.
We're socially conditioned by society, the media, everything. Yeah. And it sort of gets you, you know. It's like it's like we're in a cage, and they feed us, the media feeds you a little bit, the education system feeds you a little bit, and we have to sort of detach from that and live a free thinking life, you know, which is what a lot of successful minded people do. They detach from everything.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, obviously the psychological aspect, it can be detrimental to the psyche.
Definitely. Look, we glorify God in every single job we do, whether it's a trade, a profession, whatever. And, you know, a dentist has to take his car to a mechanic. He doesn't know as much, you know, with the car there as such.
Exactly,
you know,
that's true.
And give it to a mechanic. It's the same in mental health.
So we also have a question emailed through to us at the Catholic Toolbox from Harry, who's from Wagga Wagga. And his question is, should a Catholic be less penitent or less, or would they be less culpable if one has a mental issue for some of their sins? Would they be less morally culpable?
Well, if it's... and here we're going on. So let's just say from the outset, very, very clearly, that only God alone can see the intentions of the human heart of that person.
Yeah.
Now, whether this person was suffering some sort of delusional disorder, if it was manslaughter or murder, he would have to confess that, but he'd also have the duty of going to own up at the police station, for example.
Exactly.
So you can't say, oh, the devil made me do it, oh, because I've got a mental health issue, I sin there. No, sin is a sin is a sin. Mm. If you've got a mental health issue or not, God knows. He made you.
Exactly.
He knows. And that's not, he's, you know, not as in a strict sense, in a loving sense, he knows.
Here's a practical scenario where it plays out. Oh, well, You know, I resort to, let's say, I've heard this, porn or masturbation, or I resort to, you know, getting angry, taking my anger out on people because of my stress issue that I may have.
Yeah.
And they use the stress as an avenue to sort of be less morally culpable.
Yeah. But but we know what anger is not good. It might sort of do the trick in the first 5 minutes, but after that, have a listen, have a feel of all that yucky thing inside of you when you are angry.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's the residue of sin there.
Yeah.
And once again, see, all these questions are good, which leads them all to virtues, temperance, fortitude, prudence, these things, and St. Thomas Aquinas covers them more beautifully in the Summa, St. Augustine. But definitely, you have to say, Father, you know, I was angry, and this is what it was for. And then if you're genuine, you'll feel that forgiveness of our Lord. You'll know when you walk out of confession, because you'll be walking on cloud nine. Otherwise, you know, it just doesn't work.
I'm just walking out on a cloud, angry.
Yeah.
What do we call it? Cloud angry. Yeah. Cloud angry confession line. Yes. Because of the time that I take.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. But you see that the merciful, loving Father, He knows all. He made us
exactly,
to love Him.
Yeah. Look, to answer it. Look, also from the to Harry from Wagga Wagga, the question of. You would be less, if you do have a mental disorder which caused you to, let's say, commit a sin, you would be less, due to the condition that you're in, you would be less morally culpable. But obviously the next moral line is, if you're conscious of that, to go and seek the appropriate professional help as part of your moral obligation to then clear that up, so you're conscious, so you can be less inclined towards that sin. So we have an obligation spiritually, and this is where people don't really talk much in the Catholic world. They stay on the surface level and they say, oh, well, don't do this and try this. We need to do, you know, if it's something where depression, anxiety that you need to deal with, you've got to take action. That's a moral obligation for you to look after yourself. Just like, you know, you shouldn't abuse your body with chocolates and to cause a disease, a physical disease. That's likewise for psychological, you have a moral objective to look after yourself, so your soul can operate correctly with the, which is attached to the actual anatomy, psyche.
Yeah, and you mentioned before about the pornography and all these addictions. They're all on
very common one.
They're all on the body. They're all on the corpus, the material, and
sins of the flesh.
They're habits. They're habits, and if you don't change, they become addictions.
Exactly.
And you know,
let's talk a bit about addictions. Yeah, that seems to be a big problem.
Yeah, addictions,
especially among Catholics. I mean, porn is probably a big one. Alcohol, smoking, very serious addictions. Gossip are probably one of the very common ones I socially come across in dealing with having conversations with people around the Catholic world.
Yeah, I think it's the way we adapt our mechanism, how we're born and how we perceive the world when we were little, and the way we responded to the world when we were small, that comes with us when we're grown-up adults. And so if we respond to a feeling or something we know that we can't have too much of, it's going to cause us more pain, it's addictive.
So,
and that, you know,
shed some light on
psychology, to form a pattern or a habit of something, it takes about 66 days. Okay, so you know, so people out there that have made some New Year's resolutions, don't give up. You have to keep going until February,
the end of February.
Exactly, but this is it. So we can have quite addictions for some really good things.
Yeah,
you know, why don't we become addicted to visiting someone each day that's lonely,
or obsessed with success, good things?
Exactly,
because what you notice about very successful people, some of the traits, speaking to them, dealing with them, studying a lot of their lives and everything, and around what they do, is that they are obsessed people. They're obsessed with success. And people look at that and they'd be labeled by society as compulsive or all these different names that we get. But addictions are good. Good addictions. Yeah. Going to mass, that's a good addiction.
Definitely, you know, being
for the right intention.
That exactly. You
always got to add the right intention.
Exactly.
Because often what creeps in is false zealousness.
Yes.
That's what I've noticed in myself over the years and in other people sometimes. Yeah, we get very zealous. We want to become a desert father or a doctor of the church overnight. And it's all temporary and it fades away the second... the second we don't nurture it properly, we don't have the correct intention.
Yes.
Like sometimes me wanting to go to mass in the morning and waking up, some I might miss mass in the morning, might feel bad, but then I have to examine, look, is this my true, is my, are my intentions correct why I want to go to mass? Do I just want to feel like I've done my morning routine? Because I'm big on my morning routine, doing certain things to start the day. Is it just another byproduct of the morning routine? Do I care about being with our Lord?
Yes.
And though I do, but I got to work on that still. That's an example, I think, from my perspective.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Just like someone that's involved in drugs has to continue to be ringing up the supplier, you know, is the supply in or not, you know, and they'll ring 10 times a day. They'll send the other person crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and see, this is where...
Watch what you say live on air, Robert.
Exactly, exactly. And this is where our love, our passions become disordered.
Yeah.
And this is leads to intemperance.
Exactly. We supply the toolboxes here.
Exactly.
The tools from the toolbox here on definitely. The toolbox. So I have a question of my own.
Okay.
So obviously speaking of psychiatrists, psychologists, I've experienced in my life, you know, different people obviously who've gone through mental health issues and recovered, become better. And it's great to see, you know, and met people in different conditions. And I've developed a question of my own, which is that outside, to what extent we talk about, they talk in psychology as genetic tendencies towards psychological disorders like depression, anxiety. Someone might have a genetic tendency in their family a little bit. So if something happens, you might be more inclined, just like, you know, diabetes and any other disease.
That's right.
It's no different. Yeah. So you're a little bit more inclined.
Yeah.
To what extent can that be caused... forget about genetic tendencies. Let me rephrase this.
Okay.
To what extent can, let's say, psychological disorders be caused by sin around us and other social conditioning that we receive in the secular world? So obviously the music, the let's say workplace disasters, just the terrible condition that we have in society today. Terrible, what's bad in the education system today, what they're lacking teaching people, to what extent can the social, those things, those, the social conditioning of society affect and cause things like that?
Well,
specifically sin.
Yeah, definitely. If you look around the society, you've got your answer. So in psychology, we deal with this model called the disease model, which is biological.
Yeah, which maybe, is your genes.
Yes. Yeah. Psycho, which is the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And social, which is society which we live in. All three play a huge, and this is the whole person, right? We haven't said the soul. I mean, haven't said the mind, you know, that's there too. But the biopsychosocial is the clinical disease model. And so, you know, they did a study of two sisters, and one, they were both, you know, identicals. And one went on to develop obesity. You know, she got fairly, you know, fairly sick. And the other one remained very thin. And so they did a study on them. And the one that sort of developed obesity had some very, very hard things and stresses when she was 14 years of age the other sister did not.
Wow.
So that's a mixture of bio, psycho, and social all in one. Maybe she had more eggs in the basket of social, you know, or maybe it was more bio for her. Mm. But all three work in the one thing. The flip side to the disease model is that people have questions about life. They want to see how I can best form the best habits. And so they look at things like positive psychology, which looks at, and it's a science, and it looks at person's strengths, character traits, and is a good indicator to what kind of work they can do in the future.
Wow.
So you've got these two models, but definitely the ship's sinking with the clinical disease model, as you can see.
That's absolutely powerful. Everywhere. I think that, you've definitely answered that for me. I mean, so it was obviously those three elements there that work differently. So an experience pretty much, like the same as someone has a bad experience when they're young or something that can resonate with them, which causes something to happen.
Wow. Yeah, that lies dormant. Yeah. It's latent. So
and then it springs back up later.
Yeah, if something triggers it, usually if it's not biological, it'll be social.
Yeah.
Social phobia, social anxiety, all of that.
I think we can come up with a fourth practical tool for our audience, which is if you are going through some something, let's say anxiety. The common ones are anxiety.
Mm.
Everyone goes through anxiety. I've gone through anxiety. Yeah. I mean, and I've learned to work through that. Depression. Obviously, people go through depression.
Yeah.
Other schizophrenia. Other bipolar. Bipolar is
disorder.
Common. Bipolar. There are different psychological disorders, especially which probably. A lot of them are caused, we live in a technologically compulsive culture. Do you think that that has an impact on causing these things on the natural side of things?
It has its part to play. It has its part to play, but there is officially recognized by the American Psychiatric Association, which is the model we follow in Australia, psychologists. Yeah. There is internet and gaming addiction. That's the big new one. That's the new kid in town. And that's
an environmental factor which can cause
definitely
the environmental. You talked about the three different elements. That's the environmental pulling some weight into causing an issue there. Geez, I better cut down on my Snapchat exposure. Well, I cut out my Facebook. I'm just on Snapchat and
definitely
Instagram.
But the thing is, where we see it's a problem, it's where it's causing the person problems socially. Psychologically and that's biologically.
That's where social anxiety comes in as well. That's a common thing you hear about a lot. But everyone chucks around social anxiety like it's... what is exactly social anxiety?
It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's whereby you have to prepare a speech for school.
Yeah.
And you just can't do it. You can't picture yourself standing...
What about radio?
maybe. I'd be anxious if I wasn't getting good radio. But say, for example, a person can't eat because there's a group of girls or group of boys over there looking at them, checking them out. These are all social anxieties, and they are authentic. And you cannot get that person to around it. It takes about 6 months.
Yeah.
After 6 months, you can diagnose it with social anxiety. Before that, you can't.
Exactly, and that's the observation.
Obviously, you know, nervous, this and that, a bit shy, never done a speech in front of a crowd, you know?
That's a natural different. Thing, yeah.
That's natural, but this is whereby it just cripples the person. They cannot do it without help.
Exactly, and I think, look, it's how can you give some advice to our listeners? And to myself, obviously, for anyone going through, I can advise them. When I come across them in day-to-day life, someone's going through something. Pressure, anxiety, they may sense they're going through something. And it's just like, you know, I may have a back issue, neck issue. It's no different. It's absolutely just another one. Psych is in the anatomy, just like every other disease. It's a little bit harder to tell, but you got to take action. That's part of your moral obligation. Yeah.
That's right.
How can people, where can people go from here? Because often... All it takes is just, you know, someone's going through something, they need that help, and they put it off as we always do. And it may just take listening here live for someone to just say, look, I need help. What can I do to take a step to actually do something, which is in line with the Catholic toolbox, where we help people to take action rather than think about the Catholic faith, listen to homilies about the Catholic faith and talks about the Catholic faith. It's nice and we hear it and then we go and we forget about it and we try to live something and we forget about it again. Well, we here help people to take the action.
Yeah.
So what? How can people take action to seek professional advice from a psychologist, psychiatrist, social worker or counsellor?
Well,
whatever they may require.
Yeah, we're dealing with a real disease, a real illness. And if you picture yourself, if there are five members of your family, one of you will develop depression in their lifetime.
Yeah.
One out of every five people will develop depression. In fact, the experts are saying by 2030, depression will overtake, it's going to be the leading disease that'll surpass cancer.
Yeah. You can think just about see that. The environmental factor.
Yeah. And how many years we've been trying to fight and trying to beat cancer and come up with cures. Now we've got this mental health issue that's going to supersede it.
Yeah.
I think it's very important just to keep an eye out for people. You might notice someone at work that keeps a lot of time to themselves. And there might be anything wrong. They just like that. But you know, ask them, you know, how are you? You know, how's things? Take an interest in them. But when you suspect someone is really troubled, it's very, very important to respect that person. Treat them very, very carefully. Be fragile and say, oh, hope everything's okay. You know, we should catch up sometime. So you don't push anything down their throat. You suspect something. You
give them an option.
You give them an option, you know. Yeah. And if you make if you do that well, they'll come back to you.
Exactly.
They'll come back to you and go, oh, yeah, there was something, George. But, you know, well, maybe it's not the time here to talk about it. Exactly. You go somewhere else.
People need somebody comfortable to be in. So it's very important that you obviously make people feel comfortable and it's in non-judgmental in that sense. But where can people go? Are there any places they can go? Where should they contact, call to assist with that? Yeah.
Well, if you want to speak to people online and you want that...
Someone around Sydney maybe obviously wants to see a counsellor or psychologist.
Yeah, we've got a place at Concord. I work there on Saturdays, but... and it's not a plug for me, it's just to say that there are some psychologists out there from all different faiths as well who are very, very good.
Yeah, exactly.
So try and ask some questions. Try and find psychologists that are more like what you're like.
Ah, that's where I get to the aspect of to what extent should Catholics... Because I know, look, there's the medical, that's obviously common to everybody. Mm. That's non-negotiable. But there's also social elements to what they tell you that are subjective a little bit.
Yeah.
To what extent should Catholics seek a Catholic, practicing Catholic?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not a practicing Catholic, why would they care
about looking
for a Catholic psychologist?
Yeah.
If you're a practicing Catholic, I think my personal opinion, and I've advised people, is to seek a Catholic-only psychologist, someone who's practicing their faith, living spiritually, because psych is the study of the soul.
It is.
Obviously, they need to be a professional. It's not; they're not just giving you spiritual advice.
That's right.
You know, that's what any spiritual director's for, but they're playing their part. So you go to the priest for your sins, he does his part, but you go to the psychologist, who's also practicing Catholic, living the faith, and can look at the psychological anatomy stuff as a professional.
Yeah.
And he's practicing their faith so they can advise the personal, some of the personal things that happen in that session could be catered towards your faith.
And believe me, you know, for people listening out there, I mean, more and more people would go and see psychologists if they were allowed to talk about spirituality. Everyone wants to talk about spirituality. Everyone, but everyone fears, you know, to say, oh, you know, there's something wrong, or that's weak, you know. And this is where we started the program tonight. Comes back to stigma.
Oh, wow.
What are they going to think of me? You know, am I some sort of church nut or lunatic? Why am, you know, and they won't understand the spirituality.
What do you mean I pray?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you seeing things?
All that. Yeah, exactly, you know, and sort of have them diagnosed with schizoid delusional without even running a test, you know. So we have to be very, very careful there. But, you know, speaking to your parish priest might know if your family GP is
someone that you're... Obviously accredited as per the Australian standards.
That's
for
right.
What's the Institute for Psychologists?
The Australian Health and Regulation... regulatory body, APRA. It's called APRA.
APRA, is it a specific psychological society?
Yeah, yes, it is. Psychology is one of the branches.
But obviously, having them on a personal note as a Catholic may be helpful to you. That's just a room for thought for, obviously, and a parish priest could actually help. So see a parish priest.
Yeah.
Speak to people that you know that are like-minded. I mean, that's the art of networking, that you speak to people that are like-minded, they'll direct you to people who are like-minded.
Yeah.
And take the action. I mean, all it takes is just a Google. Psychologist, my area.
Yeah, yeah. And if you...
Keep it private if you have to. I mean, some people don't want to say, I'm seeing a psychologist.
That's right.
And you don't have to at all.
That's right.
I mean, just go... get the help.
Yeah.
And when you're ready to tell somebody about at least you're getting help. That's the main priority for most people.
And that's the thing, to act on it, you know, because I think our Lord, is very close to the children, the sick. He came, to cure people, to help people, understand people. And I think something we could discuss down the track, the Garden of Gethsemane, there in that garden is a definition, a good definition of suffering, emotional, I suppose, lack of love, with the apostles sleeping and then our Lord being abandoned by the Father. Right there is how people feel sometimes with depression and mental health. Right there. Just so dark.
Exactly.
But you're okay.
Yeah.
There is help out there.
There is definitely help, yeah. And obviously, a good Catholic psychologist can also distinguish, between the dark night of the soul and depression, obviously, they can understand very well, because it's very important also to communicate with your professional, because the problem is, like, you go to a doctor and just tell him my headache, this. Just give him answers. He can only work with what data he actually collects and extrapolates that and makes an inference from there. So it's important to communicate correctly. But I want to touch on a good book that Catholics can read. So what do you recommend for reading? I mean, there's a few things that have been written on the subject. I believe the book that we have here is The Catholic Guide to Depression, which was written by Aaron...
Curiarty,
MD.
He's a psychiatrist in America, and Monsignor John Chihuk also wrote it with him. And Father John works in the Vatican.
He's
In the Gregorian Pontifical University there.
Yes.
And both of them came up with a very, very good book. It's a good read.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd highly recommend that one.
Catholic Guide to Depression, which you can get from your local Catholic bookshop around Sydney, or you can order it online.
Definitely.
I think it's available on Amazon as well. So
yeah, Sophia Institute.
Sophia Institute.
Yeah.
Published by Sophia Institute. Yeah. So we good definitely book. Recommend that, and definitely take action with this very important thing. So obviously, we have, just like we look after our physical health, we have to look after our psychological health in line with our faith.
Mm.
Why do we look after ourselves? To give glory to God.
That's right. That's right.
Everything we do should be oriented to the worship of God. And that's what we do it for. And the time has run out this week. Thank you for being with us tonight, Robert.
Thank you, George. Pleasure as always. I found it really, really interesting.
It's been a great night. Amazing discussion tonight. Mm. You know, it's very helpful to our listeners and especially to myself.
Mm-hmm.
We've been equipped with the tools. So let's take action now with our faith. Be sure to download our podcast on iTunes and watch the video series on YouTube. That will be available in 3 weeks' time. Thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox. Until next week, I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. God bless you all, and good night. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith, to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.